and yet so gentle and so relatable, so approachable, and yet you're so much bigger than our ways, so much higher than our thoughts. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for pursuing us. Speak, Lord, this morning. Thank you for our fellowship that we can have with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Children, you may head off to your class. Have an awesome time. Thanks for worshiping with us. These lights are bright. How do you do this every week, Chad? I go blind. Whew, thank you, Carla. Thank you, team. Awesome. So are you well? How you doing? There you are. I'm just going to do this, okay? I'm going to stand over here. It's good to see you or not see you. As you notice, I put my glasses where I can find them. They're right here. I actually can't really see past about 3 feet. This helps me. Be kind. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians. We are in the Galatians series. Thanks for... did anyone actually show up, Nick, last week? Anybody? You got the word? You didn't come? I was actually kind of hoping somebody came and was really disappointed, sort of. Like, let me in. You are hungry, man. I love you. Sean, that would be you, right? I heard you laughing. All right, so you have your Bibles or your device, Galatians 1. If you don't have it, you can read along on the big screen. Thank you, Tyler, the hidden Tyler. So verse number one, Paul. This is like if you'd write a letter, the heading in the upper corner. Paul, and his address is an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ, God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. 2, the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the gloves are off. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Whew. As we have said before, so I say it again, in case you didn't hear me. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. I think he means it. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to still please man, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, and I'll say sisters, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. We'll come back to that. For you've heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he, God, who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, and was pleased to reveal his son, Jesus, to me, in order that I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were the apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia, and then returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, a.k.a. Peter, the rock, and remained with him 15 days. By the way, can I just say, if Jesus says, you're the rock, that's amazing. Can you imagine? But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Can you imagine being the Lord's brother, literal brother? Well, guess what? You are. Or sister. Come on. I hear your breath. Keep it coming. And what I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. So it's like, not going to lie. This is real. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And Paul's like, that's me. And they glorified God because of me. I'm trying to like make this a little lighter, which I don't know if I probably shouldn't, but this is heavy stuff. Let him be accursed. So Galatians, if you saw the original slide up there, freedom. It's like the original freedom that cancels our original sin through Adam and Eve. This message is just awesome because it all just comes back to what is the gospel. Do you remember? So I have a bit of a story for you. I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I came home from school one day. One of my friends, we got off the bus or whatever, and I was a latchkey kid for a little while there, and came up to the house, and there, we had a mailbox, like most people do. Opened it up, looking through it. I don't know why at 8 or 9 I'm flipping through my parents' bills or whatever, but I'm flipping through it, and this one envelope caught my eye. It was kind of this golden color. And it said, Publisher's Clearinghouse. So everyone over 30 laughed. Does anyone not know a Publisher's Clearinghouse? Okay, on the envelope it said, you have won $10 million. And I'm 8 or 9. Some was like, it's got my parents' name on it. I see the names. I'm just like, I looked at my friend. We're like, look at this. We're rich. And I'm not lying at all. I literally, because my parents weren't home, but I couldn't contain myself. Forget getting in the house. I was overjoyed in true rapture, jubilation, every positive feeling. I'm literally running down the middle of the street with my friend, like jumping. And like, I've got this envelope. I don't know where the other mail was, but I'm like running down the street toward my friend's house to tell his parents because they were home, or one of them was. So I'm just going nuts. And I remember, oh my gosh. I remember finally my mom came home and I'm like, Mom, look at this. And I kind of blacked out after I heard the news that she's like, oh, I let me explain to you. I love your heart. I love your excitement. I love your exuberance, but there's a catch. Like, we didn't really win $10 million, and she had to point out the fine print. Like, you may have won if you fill this out and your number's called, and then you respond when we don't call you. So it was this massive letdown, and it was just like, oh, you got to do all this stuff, and then you're probably still not going to win. And oh. But for a minute, man, I felt amazing. So has that ever happened to you? Not with Publisher's Clearinghouse, although that may have happened. But have you ever heard something? Like, you got an email from a prince in Africa that wanted to wire you a large sum of money, but all you have to do is pay a $29 wire transfer fee? Or maybe the gospel? Maybe it sounded too good to be true? In many ways, it's kind of what was happening here. So Paul writes this letter to the people in Galatia, the churches that started from his missionary travels there a few years before. And Paul leaves. False teachers slip in, start changing the gospel. And I'm not going to get into the exact words that it's about, like the particular extra burden that was placed on these people. Chad gets to talk about that fun thing next week. If you've read ahead, you know where I'm going, but I'm not going. And these false teachers were essentially trying to avoid persecution. They didn't want to confront this issue, so they're like, it's going to be a lot easier if y'all just do this, and then we can all get along. I won't be persecuted anymore for associating with you. By changing the message, Paul says they literally turned their back on Jesus and rendered his death and his resurrection meaningless, completely voided what Jesus has done. Whew. So it's a classic Jesus plus fill in the blank. That's what leads to religion. That's what leads to striving and our human attempts at doing and not doing in order to make ourselves acceptable in God's sight. Got to do better. Got to read a chapter every day. We've got the one Bible in a year, so I got to read this much in a day. No, wait, oh my gosh, there's a Bible in 6 months? There's a Bible in 3 months? Whoa, I got to pray more. I need the journal when I pray. Every day, no, 3 times a day. Did I pray for my oatmeal this morning? Did I ask God to bless my food? I'm all for prayer. I'm all for reading the Word. We should study the Scriptures. I don't know about journaling. I struggle with journaling personally. But, like, I'm all for that. And it's important and it's life-giving, so please don't misunderstand. But those things, if we do them or don't do them, they don't for a second change your status with God. If you are in Jesus, if you have simply put your belief in Him. Amen? It doesn't make us any more righteous or unrighteous if we do or we don't. That's the truth. If you are in Christ, you cannot be any more righteous than you are right now. It's like that baby pops out. It's a miracle. Cheryl, thank you. God bless you. All women who have given birth, you are amazing. I mean that. I'm not making fun. That's incredible. That's another message. Mother's Day's coming. But when that baby comes out, every mother's like, give him to me. And it's just love. That baby can't do a thing for you. It's just your child. Nothing you can change about that. And that's how God sees you. He's not mad at you. Someone needs to hear that today. I need to hear that today. But have you felt that? I mean, have you felt that gnawing feeling? Maybe you're there right now. That you just can't quite pin it on anything in particular, but you just feel like God's disappointed in you. That no matter what you do or don't do, it's just... It just doesn't feel like it's enough. You can't make God smile. You don't feel it. So what I want to do today, I want to turn the light on. I want to shine truth on those dark lies. We're going to speak the truth of the simplicity of the power of the gospel to that feeling. Now think back. If you have said yes to Jesus, you've trusted Him, you've given your faith, you've put your faith in Him. Do you remember? Maybe it was a child, and you don't really remember it. But do you remember the first time when it really hit home? It got past the mental ascent, and it just hit your heart. It hit you right here. When you started to taste and realize how much God loved you. And it's like, who can fathom? Who can fathom the magnitude of that? But you started to get a taste of it for real. Even when you were still dead in sin, like He was coming after you before the beginning of time. He knew you. He's been pursuing you. Do you remember that? When you became aware of like sin in your life and how He is so perfect, He's so holy, majestic, powerful, all-knowing, righteous, pure. I mean, just so beyond what we can attain. And yet, how amazing it is that He said, I know you can't make it. I know that you're not perfect. I live the life in Jesus. He came to the earth. In the form of Jesus, humble beginnings, lives a perfect life that we could never live, dies the death that we deserved, because the wages of sin is death, for us, because He so loved us. Amazing. So in that moment, do you remember something click? Like the light came on, it all made sense, all the foreshadowing, like if you're if you were reading the Old Testament and it made no sense, now you're like, oh my gosh, I see Jesus everywhere. I see all these foreshadowings and these types, and wow. Amazing. So that weight of the shame just lifted, you feel light. You remember that? You remember that feeling, how you first felt? The joy, the newness of it all. I want to read 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's like we can't even take credit. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. And John 3:16, probably the most famous passage, and we'll read 17 too. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And let me say that again. I always blow by this one little word. Does this happen to you? I want, like, Tyler, if you could make the whole page the word so, that would be, no, I'm just kidding. For God so loved the world. I pray that when you read that, you never can get past that word so. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes, so simple, believe in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Awesome. You might be saying, okay, wow. Okay, I know that. Tell me something I don't know. I already believe. Well, one of the reasons we get together is because we have to, I don't know about you, I got to remind myself sometimes. I got to rehearse it. I got to recall it. That's one of the reasons we gather, is so we remember the good news. We get to look again when we worship. It's like breathing him in again. Our breath goes out, returning the breath he gives us to praise him, and he does something supernatural. There's this incredible exchange. He inhabits the praise of his people. So listen to Paul writing to those in Corinth. They already believe. These are believers he was writing to. He says, let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. So there's this ongoing, let's remind ourselves, let's gather, let's remember. So the other day, I walked into, my daughter was ill this week, and, you know, there's only so much you can do when you're laying on a couch day after day after day. So there was this, I walked in, there's this movie on, I came in sort of halfway through, and it's not a movie I recommend just walking halfway through into. It was the Emoji Movie. Is anyone going to admit to have seen the Emoji Movie? I see a hand, I see, oh, well, of course, you. So I was lost immediately, but what I saw immediately was meh, the meh emoji. It's like one of the main characters, apparently. I actually looked up the word. Like, what does this really mean? Meh, M-E-H. It's fascinating. It actually comes, some believe, from a Jewish man doing some writing in Hebrew. M-E. Anyway, it means uninspiring, unexceptional, indifference, boredom. When is the last time you were struck with a fresh revelation of God? I want this so much for myself, so much for all of us, so much for people in this region, all around the world, that if they've heard it before, they've heard the good news, and they, been there, done that, I know. If we've become numb or anesthetized to the power of the gospel, I pray that we would just be awakened. It's supernatural, you know. Like, when it's the first time or it's a fresh revelation of God, it goes beyond giving mental assent. It's not, you know, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, these are not concepts. These are not ideas or ideology. These are, if there ever was a real person at the center of it all, it is God. It's real. So I want us to look just briefly at the supernatural piece, because we need the Holy Spirit to give us a revelation of who God is. And his story, the magnitude of from Genesis to Revelation, it's huge. It's huge. So let's look. Luke chapter 21. I don't believe this is going to be on the screen, so I just want you to listen and see if you catch it. See if you catch it. This is when, on the third day, Christ had risen from the dead, and some ladies came back and reported it, and they're like, we saw him in the garden. Not Gethsemane, where the tombs were. And they were like, what? Later that day, a couple of disciples are walking up to Emmaus from Jerusalem, or down, rather. And we pick up in verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, Jesus did, what is this conversation you're holding with each other as you walk? What are you talking about? And they stood still. They stood still, looking sad. I can imagine their heads are down. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things have happened, and moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he, being Jesus, said to them, oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Imagine the truth bombs going off inside of them. Jesus in the flesh explaining all of the scriptures to them. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it's toward evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. That might freak me out. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour, I think that probably means immediately, and returned to Jerusalem, probably running in their tivas. And they found the 11 and those who were... I cracked myself up. And they found... Thanks for laughing. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord has risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road. Got to flip the page. And how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And they were talking about these things as that was happening. Jesus himself stood among them. And then said, peace to you, because they probably hit the floor. It says, but they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Listen to some of these words. Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why does doubt arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. He knew what they needed. He knew he needed to address the doubt. They're troubled souls. They've been through a lot the last few days. Maybe even the fear. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And despite all this, it says, and while they still disbelieved, which means they didn't believe, for joy and were marveling, they were confused. He said to them, have you anything to eat? Like, so practical. Jesus is so good. Like, all right, you still think I'm a ghost, so I'll prove it to you, because in that time they believe, well, ghosts can't eat. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you. Like, don't you remember? While I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and of the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ, the Messiah, should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, see, look, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. That would be the Holy Spirit. And we know what happened 7 weeks later on the day of Pentecost. So it's supernatural. I mean, they had been with Jesus for quite a while. He was with them and they didn't recognize him. He was with them and they were still in disbelief and shock. But he is so good. He's so good. And he has sent the Holy Spirit. And I think one of the primary jobs of the Holy Spirit, you know, leading us into all truth, he is the way, the truth, the life, is to reveal Jesus to us. The majesty, the magnitude, the beauty, the everything. It's supernatural. So God is real. Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit is real. He initiates, he fills us, he dwells with us. Clothes us in power from on high, removes the veil to our understanding. He opens God's word to us, gives us faith to believe, reveals the whole of God's story and how it points to Jesus. By him, for him, through him, all things were made. He was there in the beginning, and he's there at the end. He's coming back. The Bible actually talks about twice as much as is about a second coming than the first. He's coming back. So Paul references the revelation of Jesus Christ in what we call Galatians 1, verse 12, and then he writes something similar to the church in Ephesus, and he actually is, it's like he's writing his prayer for them, that they may be given the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Jesus, having the eyes of their hearts enlightened. So today, we're actually going to take communion. And Carla, you're welcome, along with the band, to come. And those who are helping with communion, you can come. As we prepare to remember and honor Jesus' sacrifice for us, I really want to literally take a moment and pray what Paul wrote for us. And then once I'm done praying, you're free to come when you're ready to partake and commune with God. And then we'll respond out of the stirring up in our hearts. So Father God, May you give us spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Reveal yourself to us. Help us see Jesus in all his majesty. Actually, I was struck. I want to read something to you. As we were singing, this is from the book of Revelation. I, John, your brother and companion in the tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, as if it were a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write it in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Which is kind of amazing because Galatia is in Asia, same area. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like flame of fire, his feet like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in all its strength. And when I saw him, I fell down as though I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and death. It goes on. God, help us see Jesus like that. The victorious, slain, but risen Lamb of God. Help us see your posture toward us. Help us see you as the Father. Even though we were a long way off, totally dead in sin, we disowned you, we turned our back on you, we knowingly rebelled you and said we wish you were dead. Constantly searching the horizon, looking for us. And when we come to our senses, and we start coming back to you, you see us from a long way off and you start running. And you throw a robe around our back, you put a ring on our finger, you put your hand over our mouth and say, I don't want to hear your excuses, I don't want to hear it. You're my son, you're my daughter, I love you. Now let's party because you've come back home. That's God. That's how he sees you. His face is shining upon you. God, help us see you like that. Help us see you like that. As we honor you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice for us, I pray that our communion with you would be sweet. It would be fresh. We love you because you first loved us. You initiated it. You came after us. You pursued us. You didn't have to. But you wanted to because you wanted us to know you. Thank you, God. You're awesome. You're awesome, God. So when you're ready, you can come and partake of communion, and then we'll respond together and worship him.